Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Nun Tet. We're at the top of Nun Tet Amud Aleph. We just mentioned that because a bell, even when it misses, even when it doesn't have the clapper inside of it, is still fit to bang against something else and produce a noise. For that reason, it's still considered a kli and it can still be makabel tuma. However, when something is no longer fit for any purpose, it is no longer constitutes a functional vessel and would not be able to contract tuma anymore. Itmar Nami, similarly, it was stated, Amar Yosi Bar Chanina, Ho'il V'ro'il Akishal Gabay Cheres. So, since a different opinion that suggests the exact same thing, that since you can bang it against a clay vessel and make a noise, so it's still considered a vessel and it'll be Mekabal Tuma, because it is still Ro'il for a purpose. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ho'il V'ro'il Ligama B'mayim Latinok. So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, also, this can be used as a cup to feed water to a child, in which case it's still functional and therefore still a kli, still be mekabel tuma. Rabbi Yochanan lo bai mein melacha rishona. Wait, but does Rabbi Yochanan not require the function of the kli to emulate in some way, be similar to the original function of the kli? Meaning, essentially, there's a machloket as to whether or not once the kli no longer serves its function, is now no longer considered a kli and cannot be mekabel tuma, or it needs to be not fit for any function at all. So if you have a kli that serves function A and it's somewhat broken but can still kind of serve function A or can do something similar to A, then it's still a kli. But if it cannot serve function A at all but can still serve function B, then it would still be considered a kli. Alternatively, there are some who say, no, as long as it is ro'i, as long as it's fit for any purpose, it's still considered a kli. It has to be fit for absolutely no purpose in order for me not to consider a kli. There's also irrelevant halacha regarding muktza, because if something starts Shabbat fit for a certain purpose, like let's say you have a pot lid, a pottery, a kli cheres pot lid, and it breaks, but it can still kind of cover a pot, just not as well as previously, then it's still considered a kli, and you can still move it. However, if it breaks to the point where it can no longer serve as a pot lid at all, then it's mukta. Now, what if you have a pot that was used for holding things, and it broke, and it can't hold anything anymore, but now you can still use it as a lid? Well, it still has a function as a lid, but that's not similar to its original function for holding things. So that's where the machloket comes into play regarding mukta, regarding tuma tara. So what we suggested is that Rabbi Yochanan says that because it can still be used as a cup, then it's still a kli, it can still be mekabel tuma. But that would imply that it doesn't need to have any sort of similar function to its original purpose, which was as a bell. And we're challenging that that's Rabbi Yochanan's position. Vatana didn't learn the braita, the chol kli asher yashiv alav. Right? We taught regarding a zav, that he is metame any vessel or anything that he sits upon. Yachol kafa se'a v'yashiv aleha, kafa tarka v'yashiv aleha. Now, you may have thought that he flipped over a wheelbarrow, let's say, of different sizes and sits upon it. Well, that also should be a tame. Why? Because he sat upon it, even though they're not chairs. Meaning, maybe the meaning you would have assumed that when the Torah says that anything the Zav sits on becomes tame, that fits anything that he just chooses to sit on, even if it's not a chair. You may have thought that Talmud Lomar, Asher Yashiv Alav. Meaning the pasuk says anything that a zav will sit upon, and what is in the category of something that a zav will probably sit upon, something that you generally sit upon, right? So because the lashon of the Torah is anything that a zav will generally sit upon, or anything that a zav will sit upon, we only include in those categories things that are generally used for sitting. However, yatzeh Shemuchad leyeshiva. Yatza zesha omrim lo amod venase melachtenu. However, if it is, if it's no longer fit if it's not fit for that original use, we say that it is no longer, ra'ui lekabel, tuma. Rabbi Elazar omer be midrasot omrim, Amud v'nasim melachteinu, ve'ein omrim b'tame mit. Amud v'nasim melachteinu. Amud v'nasim melachteinu is basically this halachic concept that once something is no longer fit for its original purpose, it's no longer makabel tuma. Like, we don't even see it as a kli because it's no longer fit for its original purpose. That's kind of the, that is the, that's the halachic concept of Amud V'Nasim Malachtenu. So now we have two different shitas. Rabbi Elazar, Omer B'Midrasot. So Midras Tuma, Tuma contracted by things that you walk upon. Omrim Amud V'Nasim Malachtenu. Ve'en Omrim B'Tamei Met Amud V'Nasim Malachtenu. However, when it comes to Tamei Met, we don't say Amud V'Nasim Malachtenu, meaning we don't say that something loses its Tuma status just because it's not fit for its original purpose. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Af Omer B'Tamei Met Amud V'Nasim Malachtenu. Rabbi Yochanan says, in all cases, we say that once something is no longer fit for its original purpose, it's no longer going to be Mekabel Tuma. But that's difficult, because that would mean that Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is that if something loses, if something is no longer fit for its original purpose, it's not going to be Mekabel Tuma. However, we just taught by the bell that Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as you can drink out of it, then it's still fit, and therefore it should be Mekabel Tuma. But who cares if it's still fit for some use? It's not fit for its original use. Ipuch Kamaita. Yeah, just switch around the shitas originally. Just say Rabbi Yochanan was the one who held that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who held that it is no longer going to be Mekabel Tuma, right? Though we originally taught that Rabbi Yochanan held that it will be Mekabel Tuma because it's fit for some purpose. Now we're teaching Rabbi Yochanan is the Shita that says that it is not going to be Mekabel Tuma because it's not fit for its original purpose. Umachazita it de ipachta kamaita, ipach batraita. One second. We have a contradiction. One Shita of Rabbi Yochanan seems to indicate that he holds if something loses its original function, it is still Mekabel Tuma. The second Shita suggests that Rabbi Yochanan holds that if something loses its original function, it is no longer Mekabel Tuma. And you wanted to say, just switch around the first Shitas so that Rabbi Yochanan is consistent by always holding that if something loses its original function, it's not Mekabel Tuma. But why did you switch around the first Shitas? Maybe you should switch around the second Shitas, making Rabbi Yochanan consistent that it always is Mekabel Tuma, even if it loses its original function. Hashem Inan Leila Rabbi Yochanan Debay Me'ein Melacha Rishona. No, this is because we had heard that Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, we have it from a different source, that Rabbi Yochanan believes that something needs to be fit for its original purpose in order to maintain its Tuma. And that's why we switched around the first Shita, not the second Shita. The Tanya, we learned in the Breita, Sandal Shabehema shall matechet, a metal shoe of an animal, tame, right? Is tame. Lamai chazi. But what is this fit for? Amar Rav Ra'ui Lishtod Bo Mayim B'Milchama. In a war, if absolutely necessary, you can use it for drinking water. In which case, it's a fit kli, and it's gonna be Mekabel Tuma. Rabbi Chanina Omer Ra'ui Lasuch Bo Shemen B'Milchama. And Rabbi Chanina says, no, you might use it to pour oil, on yourself in a time of absolute need where you don't have the normal kalim to do so. So it's a kli, and it'll be Mekabel Tuma. Rabbi Yochanan Omer B'Shash B'Reach Bina Karav Manicho B'Rav. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's that if you're running away from battle, right, and you don't want to step on thorns too quickly while you're running, then you can put these things on your feet. In which case, Rabbi Yochanan seems to say that while they're all describing the function that these things may or may not be fit for, Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's only still a fit kli if it can be put on your foot, meaning used for something similar to its original malacha. The original malacha was being on the animal's foot. So because here in this breita, Rabbi Yochanan seems to only hold that something's a functional kli, that something is still considered a kli when it's fit for its original purpose, we want to assume that Rabbi Yochanan's shita in general is that it needs to be fit for its original purpose. Therefore, flip around the first shita where he seems to suggest otherwise to make it align with the second shita where he suggests just that if it loses its function, its original function, it's not Mekabel Tuma, it's not considered a kli. Rav la Rav Chanina. The Braita continues. What's the difference between Rav and Rav Chanina's shita? One who says you're allowed to use it, that since you can use it for drinking. One says since you can use it for anointing oil. Ika ben ayu de ma'is, meaning if it's disgusting, so then Rav would not say that you can still use it because you wouldn't drink out of something disgusting, but you would still use it for oil. So that's a nafkamina between their shitas. Ben Rabbi Yochanan and Chanina. And by the way, the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina's shita, ikamidayu di yakir. It's very heavy, such that you couldn't run away with it. Then Rabbi Yochanan would say that it's not fit for use, and Rabbi Chanina would say you can use it for anointing oil. Lo b'yirshel zahav. So a woman can't go out with an irshel zahav. My b'yirshel zahav. What is an irshel zahav? A city of gold. Rabbi Rachana, Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim, the Dava. Right? This is a, this is the, it's a jewel designed to look like Yerushalayim. Kedavid le Rabbi Akiva ledebitu, right? Like similar to the jewel that Rabbi Akiva, the necklace Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. Tarabanan, let's say isha be'ir shel zav, a woman should not go out with a city of gold. Vim yatzta chayevet, but if she goes out, then she's chayev chatat because she. Carried on Shabbat. That's Remeir. She shouldn't go out with Yerushal Zahav. However, if she went out with an Yerushal Zahav, she's Pater, meaning she wasn't supposed to. It's on a rabbinic level, she wasn't supposed to, but she's still Pater. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yotza Isha by Yerushal Zahav Lichachila. Rabbi Eliezer says, a woman can go out with that necklace Lichachila. She has nothing to be worried about. What's their argument? Why is it that one holds that that's their right, and one holds that's their rabban, and one holds that it's Mutu Lichachila? What's the point of a machloket here? What's the point of argument here? Rabbi Meir Savar Masoihu. So Rabbi Meir holds that this is not considered even clothing. This isn't a garment. This isn't something normally that you'd wear around yourself. So it's literally like carrying. Sure, it's carrying around your neck, but it doesn't constitute clothing. It doesn't constitute jewelry. It's a serious problem. It's also their right that you carry in the Rabbim. Rabbanan Savri Tachshidhu. The Rabbanan says, no. It's jewelry. So it's not also their right. You're allowed to go with jewelry. Dilma Shalfa Machvile Va'ati Latuye. But the Rabbanan were concerned that you're going to come it off, take it off and show it to your friends. And you might come to carry it. So they made a gzera about not going out with it. However, it's not Mekar Adin, it's not Aser. But there's a gzera because we're afraid that you're going to come to carry it. So that's why it's Aser Derabanan. Rabbi Elazar Savar, Man Darka Lemefach Be'ir Shel Zav, Isha Chashuva, Isha Chashuva, Lo Mishlafa, Mechavya, Kalila. Right? So Rabbi Elazar Savar is like this. Who generally wears an Yerushal Zav? It's very expensive, very fancy type jewelry. Only a very important woman. Very important women don't generally take off their jewelry and show it to everyone. People who are very, you know, have maybe one very, very nice necklace are gonna wanna, you know, take it off and show it to all their friends. But someone with, you know, with limitless, you know, precious gold and silver and jewelry, they don't go walking around taking it off saying, oh, look at this nice new jewel that I got. It's so common for them. That's not likely they're gonna, you know, It's not likely for them to take it off. That's how I understood it. You alternatively, you could understand it as like an Isha Chashuva wouldn't do that. Like as in a person of a certain stature doesn't want to show off the things that they have. You can understand it in a couple different ways. But ultimately, the bottom line is because it's only an Isha Chashuva who wears such a jewel, and an Isha Chashuva, a very important woman, would not take off her jewelry to show it to someone. We really have no concern, and it's going to be Mutar L'Chachila. Rav Aser Ushmuel Shari de Anischa Kule Alma. Sorry, I read Kalila earlier. Really, it's Kalila Rav Aser Ushmuel Shari. So, with regard to a tiara, Rav says it's Aser to wear, and Shmuel says that it is Mutter to wear. De Anischa Kule Alma Lo Pligi de Aser. When we're talking about something that's made out of solid gold or silver, and it's just it's hammered into its shape, but it's all metal. That's definitely aser. Kipligi de arukta, right? But where they have the machloket is when the tiara is made out of cloth. It just has jewels on it. Masavar anischa ikar, masavar arukta ikar. Because the master who says that it would be aser holds that the jewels are the ikar. In which case, it's similar to a gold plated one that you're going to come to take off. And that's why it's going to be aser to put on. Masavar arukta ikar, but the other one Shmuel holds that no, the cloth part is the ikar, and the cloth you're allowed to go out with. Rav Ashi matni lakula. Rav Ashi takes this teaching and gives it and makes it one step more makel, meaning he understands the machlok between Rav and Shmuel a little bit differently. Da arukta de kuli alma lo pligi de shari. Everyone agrees with regard to a woven tiara with jewels on it. Everyone agrees that's mutter, right? Where they argue is about when it's a solid gold plate. Kipligi de anischa, right? The argument it takes place only by the plated metal. Marsavar dilma shalfe mechavye v'atilatuye. So Rav holds that maybe you're going to take it off and show it to people, and then and you're going to come to carry it. Marsavar mandarka lemifak bechalilia. And the other one, Shmuel holds, well, who's likely to go out with a tiara? Isha chashuva. That's a very important woman. V'isha chashuva lo shalfa mechavye. And a very important woman generally doesn't take off for jewelry to show to people, in which case Shmuel holds that even a gold-plated tiara you can go out with. Amar le Rav Shmuel Bar Chana le Rav Yosef beferush amart lan mishmei de Rav kalila shari. So this is just a support for Rav Ashi's understanding of the Breita, since we understand, since they have an explicit, they heard explicitly that Rav says that a tiara is mutter, then he must follow Rav Ashi's understanding of this Breita, because Rav Ashi is the only one who understands that Rav is matir by a tiara that's woven. Because if you understood the, by the previous understanding of the Breita, that the machloket existed on the woven, everyone agrees that the gold plated tiara is usser, and there's Look at Rav and Shmuel as to the woven one, whether it's mutter, whether it's aser. So if you understood it for, according to the first shita, then no one would say that Rav says that any tiara is mutter. But if you understand it according to Rav Ashi, then you can understand that Rav is mati or tiara under certain circumstances, like if it is a woven one. So that's just an indication that they have a teaching that indicates that we follow Rav Ashi's shita in terms of the more makil understanding of the machloket. Amru lei l'Rav ata gavra rabba arika linarda umetala v'darash kilu l'shari. So they told they told Rav, you know, there was a certain great man, a certain tremendous Torah scholar who came to Narada, and he was very tall, and he was limping, and he told us that tiara was mutter. We don't know who he is though. Amar man gavra rabba arika de itla Levi, right? So Rav said to himself, who is it that's a great Torah scholar who's very tall and has a limp? That must be Levi. In which case, it was Levi's psak halacha that, that you're allowed to wear a tiara. Woman's allowed to leave her home with a tiara. Shma Mina, and he actually learns from there, not a halachic point, but he deduces the following observation. Nach Navshe de Rabbi Afas, right? Rabbi Afas must have died. Rabbi Afas was a Rosh Shiva. V'yatav Rav Chanina Bereisha. And then Rav Chanina sat in his place as the Rosh Shiva. V'lo havale inish lelevi lemetiv gabe. And so Levi had no one to learn from, right? Why? Well, Levi and Rav Chanina were equals, in which case Levi could learn under Rabbi Afas, who was on a higher level. So Levi could learn from Rabbi Afas, but Levi cannot learn from Rabbi Chanina because they were equal in Talmud Torah, and that left Levi without a rabbi. So if Levi is coming here, why would he be coming here in search of a new rabbi? It must be that Rabbi Afas died, and then Rabbi Chanina took his place, and now Levi doesn't have anyone to learn from. V'ka'ati l'acha, and so that's why he came here. V'dil menach nafshe de Rabbi Chanina. How do you know that Rabbi Afas died? Maybe Rabbi Chanina died and just left Levi without someone to learn with. Rabbi Afa, Rabbi Afas k'dekai kai, and Rabbi Afas would still be alive. Velo havale inish lelevi lemetav gabe, and then Levi we just had no one to learn with. V'ka'ati l'acha, and that's why he came here, to look for a new person to learn with. Im ita de Rabbi Chanina. Shachiv Levi l'Rav Afas michaf havachayif. No, if Rav Chanina would have passed away, then Levi would have been fine subjecting himself to the teachings of Rabbi Afas. However, because Rabbi Afas was on a higher level of learning than him, he just wouldn't have subjected himself to the teaching of Rabbi Chanina, who was on the same level as him. But two, furthermore, Rabbi Chanina lo sagi de lo malich dechi hava ka nicha navshe de Rebbe. So furthermore, it doesn't make that Rabbi Chanina would not have passed away before he was a Rosh Hashiva, because when Rebbe was passing away, Amar, he said as follows: Chanina Bar Chama Yativ Barosh. Right, Chanina Bar Chama should be the Rosh Hashiva. V'chtiv bu betzadikim v'tigzor. Right, and it's said about righteous people that when they make such a powerful statement like that, it has to have some sort of cue. We have to see it come true in some sort of level. In which case, if Rebbe was so confident that Rabbi Chanina was going to be the Rosh Hashiva, it's very difficult to assume that Rabbi Chanina would have passed away without ever having been the Rosh Hashiva, and that is why Rav assumed that it was Rabbi Afas who passed away. Or one of the reasons. Darash Levi bin Arda, and Levi taught Narda Kalila Shari, a tiara is mutter to go out with. Nafik Esrin Va'arba Klili Mechula Narda. And 24 people with tiaras went out from all of Narda. Darash Rabar Baravua b'mechuza Klila Shari, and Rabar Baravua taught in Mechuza that a tiara you're allowed to go out with. V'nafku Tim Nesre Klila Michada Mavoa. Then 18 people went out with a tiara just from one area. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shmuel, Kimara Shari Ikad Kamra Shari. Okay, so just another machloket, or just another thing about what you're allowed to go out with, a jeweled belt. You're allowed to go out with Ika da Amri da Arakuta. Those who say that's Davka, a woven one that you'd be allowed to go out with. The Amar Rav Safra mida da Hava a Talit Muzhevet. Right, Rav Safra explained the Savara there that just like a Talit with you know, gold plated, you can go out with. So too, you can go out with a cloth belt that has jewels or gold on it of some sort for the same svara. It's like the same garment. V'ikad amri, that those who say anischa, right? That those who taught that it was the solid plated gold that they were allowing you to go out with as a belt, like a solid plated golden belt. Similar to the breastplate of kings, which you were allowed to go out with, and that's the precedent for understanding that such a belt you'd be allowed to go out with. Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi, Kamra iluve hemaina mai. So, what if you had a belt on top of a belt? Would you be allowed to go out with that? Amar le atre hemaini kamarta. Amar Rav Ashi hai resuka itle mifarchaita shari ve'ilo asir. So first of all, we respond to this question of two belts. What, you would assume that two belts you can go out with? Absolutely not. I mean, the only thing that you're allowed to go out with is clothing, worn in a way that's normal to wear clothing. But a belt on top of a belt is not serving the function of a belt, right? In which case, it's not considered like wearing clothing, wearing a belt on a belt, which is unnecessary. It's not considered like wearing clothing. In which case, no, you can't go out with it. Finally, Rav Ashi asked about a corset. And he specified that if it has ties on it, meaning a way to tie it down, then you're allowed to go out with it. But if it doesn't have ties on it, no way to tie it down, then you're not allowed to go out with it. We'll stop here.